just, I don't want to hold off. I want to get going right into this service because I got some things to share. But my wife wants to share some good news too about us getting together. So stay tuned for the end of the service. And we're going to jump right into this. Amen. Thank you, praise team. We're going to look right into Romans 8. Hallelujah. Right where I left off last week. I think it's so powerful. I think it's so powerful and so important for us to take hold of this. I believe when this thing all started, I believe the Lord spoke to my heart about something. And I want you to hear this if you don't remember what it was. And this is what God spoke to my heart. That I just felt like people were in a desperate way waiting for their stimulus check, which a lot of people were really in need of it because they weren't getting a paycheck. And it was important that they got that. But I want you to understand that I believe that more important than even was a paycheck, that God spoke to my heart, that God was desiring to give us a spiritual stimulus, that through the midst of this whole thing, that God was giving us a stimulus in our spirit, that God was quickening us and God was awakening us to come arise, amen, to arise, to be activated, to move in what He's called us to move in, amen. I just really see that this week we are getting ready to open up our church, to come back together again. And this service is called being activated. This was on my heart. And I just it kind of came to me like thinking, wow, we are being activated to come together as a body. It is vital for us to come together. Some people say, well, I'm the church, whether I'm at home or I'm not, absolutely right. But I want you to know that I am a study of the Word of God. And I see that God desires us to come together, not to forsake the gathering together, that something happens when we gather together, that you have an individual, each one of us, our spirits, but when we come together, there's something that happens, that we begin to create a river that flows, that we're corporately together. I need what you got. I want you to hear this in my prayers, that I'm desperate together to gather together. I feel like who was it that was looking to he was begging for the body of Christ. He was looking to gather the body of Christ because he was looking for that. And I feel that that is my spirit, that I'm begging for the body of Christ to come back together again because I need what you've got. Hallelujah. And I believe that you need what I have. And together we come together corporately in person, that there's something powerful. I just was thinking about this, that even in my marriage, that if I tell my wife that I'm just going to Skype her for a week or I'm going to Zoom her, I want you to know that that relationship doesn't really, it isn't strengthened, it isn't powerful with just Zooming. Hey, I'm Zooming you later on today. But God wants more than just that. God wants us to come together as a body. And I just can't wait to see you. Amen. And I'll hug you if you'll let me. If not, then it's okay. All right. Hallelujah. Let's jump into the Word of God. So God is desiring us to have a spiritual stimulus, and we can choose whether or not in this season. I want us to think about this and think, what did God do for me? I want to come together and I want us to have some testimonies. And whether or not it's this week that maybe you just kind of got sidetracked, but right now, come on, make a decision in your heart to let God begin to speak into your heart. It's never too late with God. There's to take hold of the opportunities that God present to you, each and every one of us, to take hold of what He has for us. Am I taking hold of all that God has given me? Am I grabbing hold of everything that He has laid His life down for that I can abide and take hold of in my life? Am I doing that? Am I taking hold of it? And the Scripture says that we are to be led by the Spirit. Am I being led by the Spirit? That we learn to be led by the Spirit continually. That I'm learning to be led by the Spirit. It becomes easier and easier as I begin to turn my ear to God. I was talking with somebody before and I talked to them about how that sometimes if we turn our ear and we don't listen to it, our hearts become hardened. I remember the one thing that I kept doing, even though I was running away from God, I remember that I didn't want my heart to be hardened. I still wanted to run in the world. I still wanted to do my own thing. I wanted to be independent, but I knew that I had a calling in my life. Even before I gave my heart to God, I had a calling in my life. I knew that I was called to minister the gospel, even though I ran from it, I tried to hide from it. But there was a calling in my life, and there's a calling on your life, each and every one of us, from God. If He has called you, you have a calling. Amen. But the one thing I kept with me, and I still have it to this day, is a pamphlet. And I never even read the pamphlet because I was afraid to read it. But the cover itself was alarming to me. And it says, "Let not your heart be hardened." Man, and I said, I don't let me get to a place, God, that I'm too far gone, that I don't turn to you, that my heart becomes hardened. But that's what we can see in the Bible in James, where it talks about how that if you turn your ear, if you continually turn your ear away, our hearts become hardened. But if it works that way, I want you to know what happens if you turn your ear to God. It becomes softer and easier and easier. That yoke, he says, is easy, and my burden is light. It is an easier way. That road that is narrow becomes broad. Hallelujah. It becomes broad and wide open as we begin to hear the voice of God. That it becomes easier and more natural in my life. I want to hear God. When he says move left, I want to move left. When he says move right, when he says I want you to forgive your wife or forgive your husband, I want you to do it and respond to God and just respond. Don't stand in my own nature and my old ways and become hardened, but move with God. Amen. But we can look in Romans 8. Verse 14, this is where I left off, and it says, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. See, that's powerful for us to see that we began as being children of God, but the Bible says that those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. They are sons and daughters of God. That I just don't want to be a child, but I want to grow up and become leaning on God, be led by His Spirit in my life. And it says, in the spirit of bondage, I have not received the spirit of bondage unto fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby I cry, Abba, Father, that inside me I cry, Daddy. I cry unto Him, that it confirms in me. That's what happens when you walk in the Spirit. It confirms you. It tells you. There's a confirming within my spirit that says yes. Hallelujah. Yes and amen. It causes you to move after God, not away from God. And then we can look in verse 18. It says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which is to be revealed in us. There's a revealing that's taking place. And I talked about it last week, that Christ wants to be revealed in your hearts and your lives. He wants to be revealed out of the midst of furnaces, out of the midst of sufferings, out of things that we go through. And a lot of that suffering is talking about us putting away, pushing things aside that sometimes easily beset us, things that try to distract us, pushing those aside. Sometimes those are sufferings. Sometimes it's hard to push them away. But in the midst of that, it doesn't outweigh what God is going to pour into your life. Hallelujah. What God will bring forth. And the Bible says, for there is an earnest expectation of all creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Listen, I want to say it this way, that God is desiring for His kingdom to be demonstrated in the earth. God wants you to demonstrate who He is on the earth. That's what a manifestation of the sons of God. That there's a manifestation through the Spirit of God in your lives to demonstrate God. That you have been activated to act. That you have been spoken. My father used to say it, that there's an unction for function. There's an unction within you to function, to move, and to be led by God. Amen. That you're activated to walk in it, to act. You're activated to walk. Born to see. We are born to see, filled to walk in the kingdom of God. That we are born to see the kingdom of God, but we're filled to enter into the kingdom of God, to demonstrate the kingdom of God. That, and I always say this, and I continue to say this because I think we grab hold of this. The more you say it, the repeat it. But the kingdom of God, and write this down. It's God's reality, God's provision, and God's purpose, His will. That is the kingdom of God. See, God wants you to be demonstrated in the earth. He wants you to demonstrate His provision, hallelujah, the truth about who He is, and His will in each one of our lives. And we can look that it speaks of, that speaks to me of our mind, the reality, the truth, speaks in our soul, that we are worship God, body, soul, and spirit. So that is the reality of the kingdom, that we walk in the truth of who He is in my mind and my thinking. The provision is the Spirit, that I depend upon Him to provide for me in my life. And His will and His purpose is in my body, is in my flesh. Do you remember Jesus when he was before He went to the cross, He was in Mount Olives where He was praying. And as He was praying, He spoke that. He says, not my will, but yours be done. He pushed aside His flesh. Amen. He pushed aside. That is entering into the kingdom of God. See, listen, unless I'm willing to push my flesh aside, I cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Why? Because I'm choosing another kingdom. I'm choosing my kingdom. I'm choosing the kingdom of the world. But when I choose the kingdom of God, amen, everything that He has is poured out upon you. Amen. We can see this tonight. So let's take a look. Matthew 4. Matthew 4, Verse 17, it says, "For from this time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Amen? It is at hand. That Jesus says, repent. That word means to do a 180. Amen? To turn from that unto Him. That we are not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of a mind. That means to repent. That means to change your thinking. To do a turnabout. Amen? That we are turning to God. Amen? We are facing God. That we enter into the kingdom of God. That we forsake those things that were in our past. And we move towards God. Amen? That we can walk in God's reality, in His truth. Sometimes we don't walk in that fullness and we wonder, what's going on in our lives? But it's because we don't forsake that old and turn to the new. That we don't do that 180 and turn after God. Give Him everything that we got. See, I want you to know that it doesn't always come. It is spiritually and authoritatively, it is positioned in heaven for you. But we have to take hold of it. That's why He said that He knocks on our door so that we begin to continue to take access and take hold of it when He says to repent, to turn, to change my thinking. Amen. Hang on, I'm just going to keep these glasses on. But He wants to change our thinking. And then in verse, and then it jumps out. So Jesus, he's declaring, He is preaching the kingdom of God. What is it? The provision, the reality, the truth, and the will of the Father. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren. His name was Simon and Peter. And Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, He said, follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. He spoke a word to them. That's all He said to them. He said, follow Me, and He kept on going. Man. See, I want you to know that, man, there's something that He said. That kingdom arrested them. The Spirit of God arrested them in that moment, and they had a decision whether or not they were going to move in it. I want you to know that that keeps on moving, that God's always moving. He doesn't stop, and I need to grab hold of it. Sometimes what happens is that God's moving, and sometimes I don't move with it, and I got to wait for that thing to move around again. I got to wait for it. Sometimes I go through things in my life because I didn't move with what God spoke to me in that moment. There's words that God gives us in the Spirit, and sometimes we suffer some things because we don't respond to what God has spoken. At that moment, God has given me a word of deliverance, and I need to move in what God's saying, what God's speaking. And we're going to talk about that a little bit. And He says, and they straightway left their nets. They left their nets and they followed. They immediately followed Jesus. Hallelujah. They went after Him. Something, that power and that authority that He's spoken caused them to move. I want it to burn in my heart. See, I want the Spirit of God to burn in my heart. I don't know about you, but I feel like that God is causing us to want to run with Him. That when He speaks, that something within us, that my heart is burning. That I want to be part of that fellowship. The fellowship of the burning hearts, that our heart is burning for Him, that we do not, nothing else satisfies me but Jesus. And He says, and going from there, He went to meet some other ones, some other brothers, and He went there. They were mending their nets also, and He called their name that He spoke into their life. And He says, and immediately they left their ship and their father, and they followed after Jesus. Man, what was it? Hallelujah. There was something there. Let's look in Luke 9. Luke, verse 9. I want you to catch this tonight. He says, and then, this is verse 9, 1. He says, and then He called His 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. He has called them. I want us to know that God has called you. He has called you. That from the moment that He took your place at the cross, hallelujah, He's been calling your name. He's been calling you to come unto Him, to walk with Him, just like those disciples. That God's calling us to follow after Him, to run after Him, to move towards Him, to turn those things aside. And sometimes those things seem hard, but I want you to know that God, He is here to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen. And He says, so those things that sometimes we forsake, sometimes the things we put away are things that were causes us destruction, things that cause our bags to be empty and not to be full. And God wants us to walk in all fullness of who He is. So He called them. And He says that the 12 disciples, where were they? They were together. See, we need to be together. There's something powerful about being called together. That is being together. I love that. Because we are to be together. Amen? Man, I just want you to catch that, man. To be together. And He says, and authority over devils and to cure all diseases. To cure all diseases. He says power and authority over all devils. Say all devils. He has given you power and authority over all devils and over all diseases. Listen, He has activated you for something. See, if God has called your name, I want you to see here that the Bible says that He sent them. That God's sending them. He does not send you, hallelujah, with an empty gun, amen. That He sends you with authority and with power. When God sends you, you're prepared. You have all you need. Come on, you are not without what you need when God sends you. When you are sent by God, every one of us, we got to understand our sent by God, that we have a calling and a mission. Amen. And first of all, these people say, what is the will of God? God, you're God's will. I want you to hear that. That you are the will of God. God desires you. Hallelujah. That is more important than anything else. Say, what is the will? I need to know the will of God. Is for God to have you. That is His heart. That is that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That is the will of the Father, that you would come into the fellowship that He gave His Son for. Amen. Hallelujah. And He says this. And He said, so He said He sent them to preach the kingdom. Somebody says, well, man, I don't know if I can preach. I want you to hear this. Sometimes we take this word and we misuse it. There are opportunities for us to preach. And this way right now, there are many people that are called to preach the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Remember, it's God's reality. It's God's provision. And it's God's purpose. But this is the key thing, that word preach means to draw from. Hallelujah. That we draw from Him. Amen. We draw from what He has in our lives. That we draw from that. That is the drawing from that place that He said that you are preaching. You are drawing from the kingdom of God. Go and preach the kingdom of God. Go demonstrate it. Amen. Go walk out and demonstrate what I've done in your life. Walk out that reality. I'm going to get a drink. Hopefully everybody can hear us. You good? We all good? All right. Amen. He said, but we're to walk in that. We're to walk in this truth that it works. Tell someone it works. And we're to continue to walk in it. Let me look at John. Jesus said this. He said that we have to take hold of it. He said that He was sent to preach the kingdom of God. Jesus says in John 8:31, it says, and then Jesus said unto the Jews which followed Him, if you continue, I want you to see this. He says, I want you to preach the kingdom of God. Preach it. Pull from that. Amen. What is the word? To pull from. Amen. To pull from. That's what we're doing. That you pull from. When I preach, hallelujah, I am pulling, I am drawing from the Word of God. I am drawing from the Word of God. I am pulling from that. Amen? He says, and if you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples. He says, indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That we are called, He says, to make you free. That truth. So as I walk in that truth, that truth makes me free. Amen. When I begin to respond to the Spirit of God, it is that responding, it is walking in that truth by faith that, guess what? By that, hallelujah, it makes me free. There's some things that we aren't free from because we stop and we don't move in that and we don't move in that reality. These disciples became free and become loosed from so many different things when they begin to move and follow after Jesus. I want to be like those ones. Amen. I want my heart to burn after the Father. Hallelujah. That what He speaks of. See, God wants you to respond to it. I began to think of Jesus and Peter. When Peter was standing there and he was looking at Jesus, and here's Jesus walking on the water. Hallelujah. Man, everything within him was saying, are you kidding me? But man, I want that. I want to, there's something burning within him. I want to be where He is. Man, that looks impossible. It looks like it's not ordinary. It doesn't look like it should even happen. But I want to be where He is. The other ones were in the boat. He wasn't worried about them. He says, Jesus, if you would bid me to come, I'm coming. I'm coming. And Jesus looked at Peter. He says, come on, Peter. He says, I bid you to come after me. And Peter got up and walked in. I want you to hear this and understand something. Jesus will never call you to be at a place where you'll fail. He says, if you continue in My word, that He continues. Peter would have never sunk if he would have continued in His word. in that word. But Peter got distracted. Hallelujah. He began to look at the things which we do sometimes. But listen, I want you to see this. But I want to be at a place where I reach my hand up and he pulls me back up and we'll walk out on the water. Amen. That we're to walk in that, continue. That when he speaks to you to come, I want to respond to what he says. Even though it looks might look scary. Man, I don't know. This does not look like this is going to work. But God, I'm going to trust you in the midst of it. That's the hardest place to do. That's so hard to do. But God wants you to be at that place. That we preach the kingdom of God. That we preach, that we draw from it. To draw out of the kingdom realm of God. The kingdom realm of God. Hallelujah. Listen, I want you to see this, and if you want to see what the kingdom realm of God is, and this is one of your scriptures, one of your favorite scriptures, I know it is, it's Psalms 91, but I'm going to read it right here. I'm going to read it with the understanding that is walking in the reality of the kingdom of God. And he says, "He that dwelleth, he that walks in the secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He's my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare and the fowler in the noisy pestilence. He shall cover me his wings upon me." And it says, "And thou shalt not be afraid for the terror night." He says, I'm going to jump down through there. He says, "Only thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge." He is my refuge. Can you say that? That he's my refuge. That I'm going to make God my refuge. That I'm going to go after him. That's what the disciples said. That he desired to make him their habitation. Amen. Their dwelling place. That they went after Jesus. They followed after him. Amen. And he says, "There is no evil befall thee, neither there any plague that will come on you." We need to hear that right now. There's no plague, hallelujah, that can come into my dwelling place. "For he shall give thee angels charge over thee and keep thee in all your ways. They shall bear up in hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And thou shalt tread upon lions and adders and young lions and dragons shalt thou trample under your feet." They're not to trample on you, but you're to trample on them. Amen. That he says that I am giving you power and authority. Amen. To step on dragons, to step on serpents, to check on those things that crawl on the ground. There's a lot of things that try to get on us, that try to grab hold of us. And we're to step on those things. Amen. We're not letting them get hold of us, but we step on those things. And he said, "He called upon me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy and I will show him my salvation." That is walking in the kingdom of God. And that's what we need to continue to do as we walk in the Spirit and come to a greater understanding of who he is in our lives. Amen. Not just a religious experience of going to church, but a total relationship. A turnover, a 180 with God, that we walk after him. I want you to see this. And it says in Luke 9:3, and it says, "This is the one thing that I ask you to do. There's a dependence that I want it to be upon me, that you make me your dwelling place, your habitation, nothing else." And this is what Jesus said. This is a stipulation that he was sending them out to preach the kingdom, to heal the sick, to lay hands and heal the sick, and to cast out demons. And this is what he said. He says, "But this is what I want you to do." Catch this. I want you to see this. Sometimes we look at these things and but Jesus said this, and I need to make it my reality today. Because some of these things I don't carry. Some of these things you don't carry. But this word is alive and it's real. It's not just for then, it's right now. Say right now. So you take advantage of it right now. This word is alive. And he says, "And he said unto them," he said, "take nothing." What? Now listen, they're going on a journey. Take nothing for your journey. Take nothing. Wow. See, I want you to hear that God is causing them to walk in faith. To walk with the attention of him on their mind. He says, "I want you to walk with nothing. I want you to take nothing with you." Think about this. That there's sometimes when I go on a journey, just think about when you go somewhere, man. Could you just imagine going somewhere and not taking nothing with you? Wow, there's a lot of things that you become dependent upon. Some of these things aren't the things that we can look at here, but I'm going to make them real to you. But we become dependent on so many different things in our lives. And he's teaching them to walk in the Spirit. As you walk in the Spirit, you become more dependent upon him in your life. He says, "But what do I carry on my journey? What am I carrying?" Just think about that. Sometimes life gets heavy and sometimes things get heavy on us. So what am I carrying? Amen? Because he said, "My burden is light." So what am I carrying? See, when you begin to feel distressed, you become heavy. Ask yourself and let the Spirit of God speak to you. What am I carrying? Because why is this load heavy? And he says, neither. Don't carry anything. Nothing. Say nothing else. I want you to hear that. Take nothing else. Nothing else but Jesus. And the first thing he said is staves. How many have a stave? Some of us might not have to. I don't have a stave. You're looking at me funny. I know you're looking at me funny. But a stave is a rod. It's like a shepherd's staff. It's what they used to use to get along. It's what you used to use or what you could use to try to stabilize yourself. I want you to know that right now with my knees the way they are, I kind of need a stave. I need something to hold me up, to keep me from falling over, from looking ridiculous. And sometimes we do that. Sometimes we hold on to something. What am I holding on to that causes me not to fall? That causes me to try to stable myself and try to stand that I don't fall over. But sometimes there's things that even in the flesh where that I try to use those things to make me feel better, or hold on to that I don't fall. Or sometimes I run back to those things that keep me and make me feel safe. And there's nothing, they really don't make you safe, but you feel like they're going to make you feel safe. They feel like there's a sense of security that if I hold on to this thing, that I'm not going to fall. Man, I just began to look at this. I began to study about this. And they used to use staves, not just for stabilizing their walk, but they used to use them to put in the ark as they carried the ark. I just want you to just imagine this. As they lifted up these arks, they put the ark on their shoulders and they carried them and they were moving with God. See, I want you to hear this that he told him. He says, I'm asking you not to take your stage, not to take these things, these rods that you hold on to. He says, and stabilize yourself, but I want you to walk. See, they used to use them in the wilderness for 40 years. They moved from one place to the other and they never moved those staves out of that ark. Until it finally found a resting place. See, I want you to hear that sometimes in our lives that we are walking, we are to walk with the Spirit. See, we are not to be dependent upon us holding on to God, but God holding on to us. See, I want you to hear that. See, that we're not walking, I wrote this down, that we hold up, depend upon, and we carried the ark, children of Israel carried it, but God wants to carry you. See, sometimes religiously we try to carry our walk. We try to carry it through. We try to get through things in our lives. We're not meant to do that. They did it for 40 years in the wilderness. They tried to carry the presence of God. We're not meant to carry. The presence of God carries me. That's why sometimes people say that, you know, your religion's a crutch. And sometimes with people, it is a crutch to make them feel certain. But I want you to hear something. Listen, this is not a crutch to me, but I'm dependent upon it. It's a relationship. It holds me up. Hallelujah. This holds me up. My relationship with Jesus Christ holds me up. That it's not a crutch. It's not a crutch. But I'm dependent upon Him. Sometimes we lose religion to be a crutch. But I'm meant to be a relationship where that it's carrying me, that I'm not trying to carry it. Because you'll wear yourself out trying to carry things out for God. Instead of God carrying you. Hallelujah. That we be led by the Spirit. I hope that makes sense to you. Amen. He says, but in the new covenant, he says, I want you to hear this. I want you to understand that you're not carrying it anymore, but it's carrying you. And that's why he spoke of in the Old Testament where that he put and he wrote on the stones. Hallelujah. He writ on the stones, hard stones, his commandment and his word. But now he's written upon your heart. It's within you that you carry it within you and it carries you. Hallelujah. The second thing is a scrip. That's another thing we might look at what it is. But it speaks of a small bag, a small purse. I don't carry a small purse. Some people would think it's funny if I did. But I do carry a bigger bag. I call it a backpack now. But it's just a man purse. Whatever. So, but we carry that. Whatever. We put a lot of things in it that we feel that we need to carry. And see, the scrip is what a shepherd would carry. And it was just a small leather bag that they would carry in their girdle. The girdle, their belt, whatever it is. I don't have a girdle anymore. I wear a belt. But they wear it in their girdle. It's like you're looking at me funny. But they wear this girdle. And so and what did they carry in it? Let's just think about what they carried about it. What they carried in this bag was leftovers. That word scrip means scrap. They carried the scrap from what was left over on their journey. See, I want you to see, well, how is that relevant to me? That sometimes what I do is take something that God said yesterday and try to walk in it today. I'm not meant to do that, but I'm to walk in the reality and the truth of what God said for me today. The truth of it right now. Now, I want you to see and understand that we're to walk in the Spirit. We're to take hold of what God's saying to me today. Sometimes there's things, God, that I carry that with me. But I want you to know that God wants me to walk in the new truth that He sent manna from heaven. Amen. And every day they were to have new manna. They were to take that old and throw it out and take something new. That God wants something new for you every single day. That's why it's fresh, it's moving. So He's telling the disciples, He says, don't take the leftovers, come on, from yesterday. But I want you to take something new for you today. I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to provide for you what you need today. I'm going to give you a new word. Amen? I'm going to give you something fresh. Now I begin to think about that. I begin to think about Abraham. When he was walking with God, that he had a word that God gave him. There was a present truth that he was walking in. Now we're to walk in present truth. But when God says something else, we need to move with it. This is the problem with sometimes where that we get an understanding of God, but God wants to expand it. God wants to get it bigger. The powerful thing with me was I realized that Jesus loved me, but that's a truth that I walk in. But God gave me a present truth. And you know what that was? When God called me to be a pastor, He said, for God so loved the world, that God says, I don't just love you, Chris, but I love them out there. And when I begin to see God expand, that root word became a present truth. It became greater in my life, and it expanded within me, and I began to love people. See, I was walking in the Spirit. I began to see, hallelujah, God, you love them. And what happened within me, it began to burn within me to cause me to see, wow, my goodness. Man, I thought I knew how much God, He loved me, but when I seen how much He loves you, whew, it got even deeper. But when Abraham was walking in present truth, and as he was going, what was the truth that he was walking in? He says, I want you to take your son. I want you to sacrifice your son. He says, I want you to take Isaac. He didn't question it. He was walking in present truth. But thank God he had an ear to hear. Because as he was walking with it, he turned his ear to hear. And the Father says, do not do this. Hold your knife. See, because he held back. See, God, he could have walked in the present truth where God says, sacrifice your son. He could have walked in it. How many times have we missed out what God had for us when we were walking in what God said to us yesterday? We need to walk in present reality, in present truth, what God's saying to me today. Wow. See, that comes alive. See, because, listen, when I just walk in a present truth that I had last week or last year, it becomes dull to me. And it'll become dull to those around us. But we're to be a bright light, the Spirit of God alive within us. Fresh oil applied daily into my life. I want you to hear that. I want you to take hold of that. And I'm almost done. Here's a couple more things that we're taking. How many of you take a loaf of bread on your journey? I don't, but they did. He says, and neither don't take any bread. Don't take bread with you. And that bread speaks of the feed upon the word of God. Deuteronomy 8. That word bread means to sustain you. That thing that sustains you. Sometimes we got to think to ourselves, what is the thing that the sustenance in my life that's sustaining me? We could look at Jesus, where Jesus said this. I want you to catch this. Take hold of this. In verse 4, this is when Jesus was walking. Jesus being full of the Spirit. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. He was led. Amen. He was led. He moved after. He walked into the wilderness. And as he was there, he became to become hungry. See, I want you to know that God knows that he wants to be the thing that sustains you. And sometimes in life, we let other things sustain us. Sometimes it is a bad attitude. Sometimes we let it fill us. That whether it's with rage, whether it's with anger, whether it's with unforgiveness, whatever those things are, sometimes we let those things sustain us instead of let God stay us, let God fill us. So Jesus, that speaks of our flesh, where that Jesus became to become hungry, that our flesh, his flesh became hungry. He wanted to be filled. He needed sustenance with his life. There he needed a filling within his life. Listen, catch this. And he says, and the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made to be bread. And Jesus answered, and he says, thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word. Can you say by every word? But by every word, hallelujah, that God speaks. Deuteronomy 8. This is that scripture that Jesus quoted. This is where it's at. Say, this is where it's at. Amen. Deuteronomy 8, and it says, "And all the commandments which I command you, thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply." See, Jesus grabbed hold of it. He said, "Father God," he says, "here's something presented." Sometimes there's things presented to us to try to sustain, to try to get life, to try to fill ourselves up with. We think, "Well, man, if I just do this, if I respond this way, that it'll make me happy." Come on, amen. But, or maybe it'll just fill me out. There's some things I want you to know that our flesh says, if you just do this, if you respond this way, that you'll feel better. And then when you do it, you feel empty. Come on, I know I'm not talking to myself, but when you do respond that way, you feel empty. And God says, "I want you to respond to my word. I want you to walk in the Spirit." You got to forsake those things. He says, your old nature. He says, "Do which I command you, and you will multiply. You'll possess the land which the Lord has sworn unto you. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Humble yourself. Prove thee to know what is thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not what it was, neither did the father know, that he make you to know that man doth not live by bread alone." There's that scripture right there. He says, "But out of the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." It is by God's word that we live. He says, "And thy raiment waxed not old." Their clothes didn't wear. Hallelujah. That God sustained them. It says, "And neither did their foot swell as they walked in that place." Their clothes didn't even wear down. It didn't wear down. God provided. "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that man chases his son, so that the Lord thy God chasteth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep thy commandments, thy word of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways, and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks and waters and fountains and depths and springs, out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and figs and pomegranates." That speaks of fruitfulness, that God wants you to bring you to a place when you abide in his word, when you turn to his word, what God says, you respond to God. When you respond to God and not your flesh, but you respond to the Spirit, amen, God will bring you to a fruitful place. He says, "And the Lord will bring you to a land that is good." He says, "And the land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it, in the land which we have stones, irons, and whose thou mayest dig brass." And that speaks of strength, that I will bring you to a place of strength. Hallelujah. A place of strength and fruitfulness when you respond and move with God's Spirit. So Jesus, as he responded to the Spirit of God, as he responded to the Word of God, he moved in it. That's what God wants us to do. I want you to hear that. I want you to just grab that in your heart. Just take hold of that. And it says, we got to feed on the Word of God. See, our flesh gets hungry too. I want you to hear that. Our flesh gets hungry. But what am I feeding? Man, what am I feeding? What am I feeding? Whatever I feed grows. Whether my heart gets hard or whether or not it gets soft, whether I begin to hear God more, I begin to hear my flesh more. See, God wants us to respond. God wants to move that we begin to hear what he's saying. The next part is neither money. Money's a powerful thing. Man, see, we want to take hold of money. There's something about money. There's something about currency that there's a dependence upon that. When you get it, what is in your heart? I always said this, that I had a friend a long time ago that he ended up becoming a millionaire, and we were really close friends. He says, we were really close friends. And what was in his heart came out when he got that money. Sometimes it's sad, but what is that greed that sometimes you might have? There's something within us that we become greedy. We become independent. We begin to take hold of that. And that's why it's called mammon. And Jesus, and the Word of God says that you cannot serve two gods. You cannot serve mammon and you cannot serve God. He declared that neither one of those, either mammon or God. Which one do you want to serve? I want you to hear this. And he says, somebody's calling me on the phone. I want to answer and say, "Hey, I'm in church." They might have forgot. That's okay. But money, it speaks of provision. See, there's something about that when you don't have much and you're to place a dependent on whatever that is, that God wants to be your dependence. See, when these men went out, they had nothing in their pockets. God says, I'll provide for you. See, God wants you to walk in faith where He says, I'll provide for you. I'll take care of every one of your needs. I want you to learn to move in the Spirit, to trust me. Amen? That's what God spoke to our hearts. He said that you come to that place that Jesus, and we can look in back in, with how did Jesus deal with this? What did Jesus do? In John 4, Luke 4, verse 5, and it says, and the devil, taking him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdom of the world in one moment. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give you in glory. He says, of them, for they delivered unto me, and whomsoever I will give it. And if therefore will worship me, all shall be yours. See, I want you to get this. See, I want you to become dependent upon me. See, there's always a challenge where that your flesh, the enemy wants you to become dependent upon him, and God wants you to become dependent upon him. So there's a challenge right there. I want you to see that sometimes when you have no need in your life, there's sometimes I want you to get that I know that there's some that in my life where that I've been dependent upon God because I was broke. But in the midst of that brokenness, I become more dependent upon God. And I thank God for that because I lean more on God in the midst of that brokenness and learn to hear from God more because I learn to become more dependent upon Him. I want you to hear this. And Jesus, He was dependent upon the Father. He became dependent upon the Father. And He said this. He said, get behind me, Satan. And I just began to think about this because He was trying to disrupt the currency or the flow. Sometimes this is what I speaks of money. Not like money's bad, but the love of it, the trying to get it to gain power because it speaks of power. We all know that in the earth, that money rules the earth. It is the power. If someone's rich and has powerful, they could be rich but have no character and people will listen to them. Amen. But that person that might be poor but might be rich in wisdom, people won't listen to them. See, I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to take hold of this. That's why sometimes people, no matter what, they had a hard time listening to Jesus because He was making friends with people that were broke. People that didn't have much. But they couldn't help but listen because the Spirit of God was upon him. He had authority. He spoke from that place. But I want you to see that the enemy would try to, he'll use money to disrupt your dependency upon God. And this is what the enemy tried to do. He tried to disrupt his view of the Father. See, the enemy wants to disrupt your flow and trust in God. See, that's why sometimes it's important to tithe. Because if I hold my tithe in and I don't let it flow, then it stops. The Bible says Jesus showed his life. He says, unless a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. Wow. If it doesn't die. But when it dies, it becomes alive. Amen? It becomes alive again. And it can produce much. There's a flow there. But when I hold on to it, I stop the flow of the currency. Amen? I become dependent upon what I have in my hand and not the Father that's before me. So God wants us to be in a place where that we're dependent. There's a continual flow. There's a current flow. That we become dependent upon God to say, God, Lord, you're my provider. It's not the money that I have in my pocket that's my provider. I'm not going to be dependent upon it, God, but I'm going to be dependent upon you. That's a hard thing sometimes to break from. That's a hard thing to break away from. These disciples broke away from a business when Jesus says, follow me. But Jesus had something greater in store for them and they trusted the Father. And that's a powerful thing. Sometimes we become dependent upon money. It's a powerful thing. Become dependent upon that and not dependent upon God. I hope you hear me tonight. But he told the enemy to get out of the way. Don't disrupt it. So when the enemy tells you not to bless somebody, not to encourage somebody, not to sow into somebody's life, you tell them to get out of the way because you're not going to disrupt the flow of your dependence upon the Father. The last one is this. He spoke of two coats. And that's two coats speaks of a covering. That we're to have a covering, that God gives us a covering, that not to take two coats, but just take one. He wants to be our covering. Sometimes what we do, that we are to be covered with the robe of righteousness. Amen. And I want you to hear this and know, but in my old nature, sometimes I cling on to old things. But I got to walk in the reality of who I am today in His righteousness, of what He made me. Sometimes I look back and see my old self and begin to disrobe who I think I know that I am in Christ and walk out who I used to be. I'm not meant to do that. I'm not meant to have two coverings, but one covering. See, Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, they disobeyed God. And what did they try to do when they became naked? What you do automatically is try to cover yourself. So they had a covering that was upon them, their own covering. But God had a covering for them. And he killed a lamb, a sacrifice to lamb. And He took that lamb, it speaks of Jesus Christ, and He put it on their nakedness. That's what God wants to do to us. That we're not disposed to walk in two robes, a robe of unrighteousness and a robe of righteousness. No, to walk out who we are in Him. He told Lazarus, He says, take off his dead clothes and that old. He's not meant to walk in those dead clothes, but we're to walk in righteousness. We're to walk out our walk with God in righteousness, knowing that who I am in Him. I hope you catch that. Amen. Our last scripture as we run down, it says, in whatsoever house you enter into, this is powerful, whatever house you enter into, abide there and depart. I don't want to stay on here too God, but too long, but I want you to see that we're to make disciples, we're to make relationships. It's so powerful for us to build relationships with one another. You become accountable to one another. Build someone, have a Bible partner, have someone that you speak into their lives. Say something, encourage somebody, find somebody every day to speak into their lives. So, amen. Don't just think about your own life, but think about somebody else. Sow into somebody's lives. Bless somebody. Encourage somebody. There's something powerful about that. When you're a disciple, that's what you do. Amen? That's our daily life, that we sow into somebody. Bless somebody. Man, it's just a simple thing. I want you to hear this and know that I had there's a man of God that goes here that went and blessed the lady. She called me up and she was so excited because she got this basket and it meant so much to her. I was so encouraged that he did that. It blessed me also to see that. That's walking out, hallelujah, the kingdom of God. Just blessing stuff. Well, that's just simple. No, I want you to know to her it meant everything. That's what we're to do. And the next one he says, and whosoever will not receive you, when you go out into the city, listen to this, I want you to get this. Shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them. Tell someone, shake off the dust. So I want you to get this. I want you to take hold of this because thus speaks of the flesh. See, I want you to hear this and know that sometimes in life that when you go through things and someone might offend you, if you're going to be a disciple, I want you to hear this right now. If you're going to be a disciple and walk in the Spirit, you will be offended. You will be offended. And when you're offended, shake it off. Don't let it get on you. Don't hold on to you. There's going to be people in this church. There's going to be family members that will offend you. But if you are going to walk in the Spirit and be a disciple, you got to shake off the dust of your feet. Don't let it get on you. Amen. Don't let it get on you because what it'll do is it'll rob you of peace. The Bible said that we are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. Be prepared for whatever comes against us with the gospel of peace, with the message of hope, that we are to shake it off our feet, that we don't have disrupt our peace, that flow of God in our lives because of what somebody else says. Hallelujah. I don't care what you say. I need to take hold of what God says about me. And don't let it bother you. Don't let it get on you because what it'll do, it'll disrupt you. It'll cause you to be weary and broken down. We can't hold on to that thing. I began to think about Paul. When Paul was at a place where it was rainy, it was damp, he just had a shipwreck. Man, talk about a bad day. My goodness. Man, it's those days sometimes, man, it just, are tough days. You have a tough day, I want you to hear this. And some of those moments, we feel like maybe God's not for me, but He's against me. We feel like, man, all this and that, we need to shake it off. Because this is what Paul did. He says that when he went to the fire, he was warming himself in the midst of the fire. And what came out of the fire, sometimes in the midst of our sufferings, there can be an opportunity for the enemy to try to bite us, to try to disrupt us, to try to get a hold of us. And what you need to do is shake it off. See, he took hold of it. When it began to reach out and latch hold of him, he shook it off. You might want to get frustrated. You might want to get mad. You might want to get angry. Come on, I want you to hear me. Shake it off. Eh? Don't let it get a hold of you. Shake the dust off your feet. Shake it off you. Don't let it get a hold of you. But lift up your head unto God. Amen. And he says, uh, last scripture, and it says, and go out of the city, shake it off. He says, and depart, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Can you say everywhere? They were healing everywhere. They believed the word of God, and they began to walk it out. We are meant to be activated to walk it out. Amen. We got everything that we need. We need to walk it out. And you need to walk it out little by little. You need to take hold of it in your own house. You need to begin to apply it in your life, and then daily begin to walk it out. And the world, the Bible says that they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They're waiting for us to walk in what we're activated to do. They're looking for us. Hallelujah. They're waiting with expectation for us to step out in faith and move in it. And it says, and it goes on down. It says, and as they were there, here's the disciples. It says, and they came back. And they shared the stories that took place. I said, man, I said, Jesus, man, you were right. You were telling us the truth. It only became a reality when they stepped out in faith to do it. They were never able to take hold of all the word that God says unless they begin to walk it out. Make this become real in your life. Make this become alive. You walk out the scriptures. Let them become a reality and truth in your life. See, God wants these to become flesh. God wants His words to become flesh in you. They want them to walk in you, move in you, and have His being. God wants to heal the sick. God wants to bless those that are around you. God wants to lay hands on them. God wants you to do it by faith. Not saying, God, Lord, do you want to heal? Yeah, I want to heal, and I've asked you to go do it. Lay hands on the sick. Just go lay hands on them. Go bless them that despitefully curse you. Shake it off. Walk in it. I've activated you. I've empowered you to do it. Go do it. Go do it. God wants us to walk that way. To move in it. And as these disciples, they were amazed by it. It says they stood there. And Jesus had this multitude of people that were all around. And as these people were there, that He says, Lord, what do we do with these ones? He said, you feed them. What did He tell them to do? Feed them. You know how it works. Hallelujah. You've been activated. You feed them. Hallelujah. It's in you to feed them. I'm here to challenge you, church, that you know you've been activated to feed the world that's hungry. Those that are lost. Hallelujah. You're called to feed them. You're called to let God multiply, that they pull the fruit off your life, and they live, and they have purpose, they have understanding, they begin to taste and see that the kingdom of God, it's good, that God's good, He's merciful, He's mighty. Let them experience the reality of heaven on earth in your life. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for joining us tonight. You're blessed and highly favored. Remember, God is knocking. He doesn't stop knocking. Open the door and let Him in. He'll sup with you. God bless you.